welcome everyone to the National Federation of the Blind Indiana Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee's our meeting here this month. And we really have some good information, great information to share. And I trust that you all can absorb it and take it back to your communities. And, you know, we all can learn more about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and how we can be better and stronger advocates. And we hope that this session here allows you to do just that. As you know, our theme of this is the critical race theory, what it is and what it's not. And we will get to that. That will be our last item on our agenda. We will have Ms. Sarah Williams. She is the executive director of public policy and advocacy of McCoy, and her and Dr. Reed and the possibility of Ms. Amber O'Haver will come in and speak about a bill that's going through the state of Indiana. It's HB 1134, and it's in the Senate now, and we will talk a little bit about that bill, and then we'll go and speak with Mr. John Pear of NFB, Executive Director for Advocacy and Policy. And we also have a colleague of his, which is Jeff Kalock, and we will do some discussion there on how the NFB comes up with its priorities for our Washington seminar and how it can be helpful in resolutions and things within the state, and also maybe talk a little bit about the voting. And then right after that, we will have our own Dr. Yvette Simmons-Reed, and she will be speaking on the critical race theory, and we are opening up all of these areas or items for discussion. And we want you to feel free to raise your hand and join in the discussion. We will ask for questions after each one of the issues. So without any further delay here, I want to bring forth Ms. Sarah Williams. And Ms. Sarah Williams, I just want to say thank you once again for coming on and sharing with us today. And the floor is yours.
Thank you so much. Hi, everybody. Again, I'm Sarah Williams, Public Policy and Advocacy Director at Marion County Commission on Youth. I've been keeping quite busy this legislative session at the State House. In particular, we've been working quite a bit on House Bill 1134, which you may have heard about this from the news. It's been all over the news. This is one of the controversial education bills that's currently moving through the State House. It had kind of a companion bill in the Senate called Senate Bill 167, which was almost identical. That bill has since died, but it did receive national attention when Senator Scott Baldwin made the statement that when teaching things such as Nazism, one must remain partial when teaching that. And so that received a ton of backlash and everything. It was made fun of on the Stephen Colbert Show, made national news. And so because of that, that bill died. But regardless, 1134 still exists. It's nearly identical. And it's currently legislators are working hard to get it to a place where it will pass through the State House and be sent to the governor to put into law. I will say this week, there's been a lot of action taking place on the bill. It's already passed through the House. It was introduced in the Senate Committee on Education and Career Development. And they met actually yesterday to discuss it. They heard public testimony. They also amended it. They amended it significantly, which is a good thing, trying to make it a little bit more palatable in terms of, you know, what it allows and what it doesn't allow. They removed some provisions that were especially made teachers afraid. In particular, it was basically, just a bit of background of it. It was introduced kind of in response to fear that things like critical race theory are being taught in schools. And you may have heard, you know, on the news that, like, over the course of, I don't know, earlier this school year, there were a lot of people interrupting school board meetings and things like that for fear that their children are being indoctrinated and that CRT is being taught in schools and things like that. And they would, you know, interrupt school board meetings. And so it's the same group of people who are going now to the legislative level to try and create change that way, to make sure that there's more transparency in terms of what is being taught in schools. and so basically, originally, what the bill would have required would be to add this additional level of monitoring of teachers, where they would have to post every part of their curriculum online for parents to be able to access and review. It would create committees made of parents and members of the public to review all of the curricular materials each year. Teachers would have to have all of their curriculum approved in order to teach it, which would, you know, keep them from making last minute adjustments and things like that, especially in response to just things that happen in the world every day. You know, they wouldn't be able to really discuss that. It would also instill a lot of fear, and it still instills a lot of fear in teachers, even after these amendments, that basically, you know, if they're teaching something about race or history or some of the horrors of our past, originally before it was amended, basically, If it was an issue that made a child feel uncomfortable, whether it's, you know, a white child feeling uncomfortable listening to the horrors of slavery, for example, then a parent could make a complaint, and a teacher could risk losing his or her license, getting fired, getting sued. And so that created, you know, this huge fear of censorship of teachers. I will say that particular part has been removed. There were a lot of amendments that were made recently to make it a little bit better, but it still has a lot of holes missing. another thing that's also especially frustrating is the fact that legislators haven't really consulted with many people aside from these frustrated parents about the ins and outs of, you know, what this legislation would mean. And so, you know, even with all of the adjustments and things like that they've made, I've sat in on conversations with teachers who are in the classrooms doing the work and are the experts in their fields. And they say, well, what about this situation? Or what about this particular class I'm teaching? Would it apply to this? And there's just a lot of missing pieces, and legislators don't seem to be taking those into account. And so, you know, we appreciate the efforts made to try to improve this bill that were introduced and amended into the bill yesterday. We appreciated that, but ultimately this bill is still not passable. It's not, I don't think it will ever be in a place that's kind of good enough to make teachers feel protected. And it's just, you know, an added frustration too. You know, it seems like every year teachers are out there trying to defend themselves and defend the work that they do and ask for more resources and things like that. And it's just this constant attack on teachers. Now, I will say, you know, it significantly affects teachers, but it also significantly affects students and the services that they're able to get. One huge issue that still remains in this bill is mental health services for students. You know, in schools, sometimes that's the only place where students can get certain help. And the bill currently as written would require parental permission for students to receive mental health services in schools. And what they're not realizing, what legislators are not realizing, is the fact that sometimes these mental health issues are stemming from the parents and from what parents are doing at home. And so, you know, kids might not want to have their parental permission and everything like that. And there was actually some really powerful testimony about students who were contemplating suicide, who were able to go to a trusted adult at their school to be able to seek help and seek support in that way. You know, there are all sorts of services, and it's not even medical, you know, services or anything like that, but just clubs that, you know, students can be a part of that address mental health issues. And those, you know, you'd have to have that parental permission to be a part of that. You know, there was originally fear that even if a student were to come into the classroom crying and looking visibly upset, the teacher would feel a little nervous in terms of whether or not they could ask, hey, what's wrong? Is everything mm-hmm. going? Is everything all right? So that's something that I imagine they'll probably work on changing, but it's something that is still a part of the bill. And so, you know, we really want to raise some awareness about that. Now, I was asked to speak a little bit on the effects of this bill on students with disabilities. I will just kind of give you a bit of background. I'm certainly not an expert in the disability aspect of it. But I do have a colleague who did raise a few issues with me that he wanted me to make sure to include to share with you all. Is first of all, it's not clear whether or not 1134 is legal with respect to FERPA IDEA and those the confidentiality aspects, because many classes, including students with disabilities, are small, some of which are less than 5 students. And so if teachers are required to submit all of their educational materials, they'll presumably also need to identify where they've made these instructional accommodations for students who are served in special ed classes. And, you know, if there are very few children in the class, it could be possible to identify those individual students, which would be, you know, obviously not acceptable. So that's one big issue. Another thing is that there's a list of protected classes listed in the bill. I just pulled it up. Basically, it would protect, there are 3 tenets of the bill saying that you cannot promote the concept as part of a course or instruction that promote the concept. Sorry, I'm kind of reading the bill also as I'm talking to you. Basically, a teacher could not promote the concept that any sex, race, ethnicity, religion, color, or national origin is inherently superior or inferior to another one of those protected classes. And also, there's another one, you cannot promote the concept that those same classes, that an individual should be treated adversely or preferentially because of those classes. And also, you cannot teach that those classes that I mentioned are inherently responsible for actions committed in the past by other members of those classes. Again, the classes that are identified are sex, race, ethnicity, religion, color, or national origin. What you may have noticed is it does not include disability status. It also doesn't include LGBTQ students, and it doesn't include students who speak different languages. So with that missing piece, you know, it leaves one to wonder, is it okay to advocate discrimination against those groups? So that's, you know, another missing piece in there. And my colleague said, and I agree with him, that he's come to realize that there simply isn't a group that this bill doesn't harm, which is why, you know, I'm really glad that you guys reached out to me to learn more about the bill. I will say in all of the advocacy efforts that I have seen, this particular perspective of the concerns for students with disabilities, I don't think has really been raised. And so I think that, you know, I would welcome you and invite you to definitely join our advocacy efforts in against this bill, and to especially share your perspective and your experiences and your concerns in particular with how it would affect the disability community. Because I think that that's incredibly important for legislators to hear. So as I mentioned, there was testimony heard yesterday on the bill. It went a really long time. But it was quite inspiring because, you know, there were just so many people there, in particular teachers. ISTA has done a lot of organizing to get teachers from all over the state to show up to testify and, you know, and defend themselves. And so testimony, they ended up cutting it off after about an hour and 45 minutes of hearing testimony. I would say well over half of the people who asked to testify were not given a chance, unfortunately. So they did decide to hold the bill. They have not yet voted on it in committee because they want to do some additional tweaks and everything. And so so there's still a chance for changes. There's still a chance to, you know, advocate against this bill. They will probably, I think they're scheduled to bring it up for a vote in that committee this upcoming Wednesday now, which I think is what, the 23rd. Let me see. Yes, Wednesday the 23rd. I think they're going to schedule to discuss it then. I'm wondering if they're going to allow for testimony. I think they should, because they didn't hear everybody who showed up, and there were a lot of people who needed to be heard. Who didn't have that chance. And so I'm not sure if they're going to be hearing testimony, but regardless if they are or not, you know, people are going to definitely be at the state house protesting, trying to talk to their legislators, their senators, to ask them to oppose the bill. So that's kind of where it's at right now. I'd welcome to hear your thoughts on it too. Cause as I said, you know, I've been learning so much about the bill and about exactly, you know, how it affects everybody from all different backgrounds and perspectives. So I'd love to hear your all thoughts on it. Or, you know, any concerns you have. And also, you know, if we can work together, hopefully, over the next few weeks to hopefully defeat the bill. So, yeah, that's kind of my
Thank you so much, Sarah. That's exactly what we're interested in doing. If I might just make a couple of comments. You mentioned that this bill is purported to make education more transparent. And for most school districts, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the academic core standards are posted for the state because that was legislated. And so all of that is always available. Mm-hmm. And the content that needs to be taught is always available as it relates to each of those standards. Am I right on that?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. And that's something too that, yeah, teachers have been saying is, you know, they're happy to share what they want or what, you know, parents ask of them on an individual basis. It's just that added requirement.
Right. Well, it's unnecessary drawing of resources, both human and, you know, and otherwise. The other thing that I might say is that the curriculum in terms of books and textbooks that's used in K-12 is not a decision made by teachers alone. Mm-hmm. Specifically, there's also a mechanism in place that decides the curriculum for any particular level of education, whether it's kindergarten, all that. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So, and as it relates to, and I don't want to take time, I want other people to ask questions, but as it relates to special education, I agree with your colleague that this bill fundamentally jeopardizes funding of special ed in the state of Indiana for the fact that the conditions by the state is to offer a free and appropriate public education based on the child's needs. So if a child needs mental health support, then that is exactly what needs to happen. And for I've taught all levels of education, and I believe to the greatest extent possible, schools seek parents' permission before they implement things with children, you know, especially if a child is in distress. But there are times when, like as you mentioned, and mentioned appropriately, that for the safety of a child, it's not appropriate to perhaps, especially if a child does not want the parents involved at that moment because of their own safety.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
You know, this is some very good discussion here, and we just have a few more minutes that we can allow for any other questions from the audience. So you can just raise your hand if you have a question regarding the issue.
While we wait for those, this is Michael Off. My question would be, is this something that you're prepared to challenge in the courts if it's passed and signed into law?
That's a good question. I will say my organization, McCoy, or Marion County Commission on Youth, I don't believe we have the capacity to do that, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Indiana State Teachers Association would do something mm-hmm. like that. Yeah.
I think Maryland raised.
Maryland, okay.
Maryland, did you have a question?
And we must say that this type of...
go ahead, Maryland.
She's there. Okay.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank you all from Indiana for allowing those of us from other states to participate this evening. We're facing the same challenge here in Florida, and it's very, very disheartening. I never thought I would live to see the day that this kind of racial, really oppression would be present in our public school system. And I just hope that this is something that we could work on as a federation, because it does affect members of our diversity and inclusion family in the NFB. And I don't see this as helping children to have a well-rounded education. It is really, really sad. What about the children whose parents or grandparents faced discrimination, lived through slavery, and they feel discomfort? They are possibly helped as they're allowed to talk about the discrimination that they have experienced or their forefathers have experienced. But obviously, this isn't addressed now.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you made the point. And I didn't realize that there were people here from out of state. So yeah. Welcome. That's really great. But yeah, this is something that we've been seeing like all over the country. I think there have been efforts to create, you know, these school transparency bills. And I want to say something like 36 states so far and counting.
Yes.
And yeah, it's scary stuff. And, you know, I think it stems from fear, I think, fear of like, I don't know, the unknown, fear of, or this like distrust in teachers. And ultimately, yeah, it's exactly what Evelyn said, or excuse me, Marilyn said, that, you know, this will affect students significantly in terms of what, if, you know, their ability to think critically, their ability to ask questions and to, you know, expand their minds and to, you know, really understand where we've come from and how we can try to, you know, not replicate the mistakes of our past.